the guy define success for him and his family, not by how much money's in their bank account, but how much time they have to do what they love.
Yeah.
And I realized working for another company, having a boss, somebody who really owned my time, I couldn't do the things that I loved. And like, we couldn't do the things that we loved as a family. So we saw social media as a way to encourage people, but also give us the free time to actually watch our kids grow up and to go on adventures that we never thought possible.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Suits and Shoes. Today, we have the wonderful Dan and Sam Matthews with us. Dan and Sam have accomplished so much in such a short time here in the wonderful Springfield, Missouri. Just on Facebook, over a million followers, YouTube, over 400,000. I think if we put collectively your pages together and to pull the analytics, it'd be well over 10 million. And then if you take it on, you know, impact of a year, it's just extraordinary. So Sam and Dan, what does it take to be Dan and Sam?
You need humor from Dan. I'm the pretty face and he's the humor for sure.
I always joke that we're Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. She's all like clean and nice and sweet. And then here comes Dan,
rugged,
like with his camo and dirty boots on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to start from the beginning of your guys' journey. Whose idea was it?
It was mine.
So how did that start? I mean,
this ties into how we met you years later. But in the summer of 2019, we lived in Colorado and I was a new mom of two at that time. And finding myself, what's my role now that I'm a mom? Because I didn't want to just be a mom. And I feel like a lot of moms are in that area where they want to do something else too. And so I was scrolling Instagram one day and I see people renovating these RVs and living in it. And I'm like, I want to live in an RV. Well, in Colorado, the cost of living is so high. And it was honestly just as expensive to live in an RV at the time as it was to live in a house. So we're like, okay, living in an RV is out of the question. But I'm like, what if we just get one and we renovate it and we like rent it out? So we found an RV on Facebook, flipped it in a few months and started renting it out. And I just shared the process of demo, of painting it, of renting it out. And through that, we built a little bit of traction. I mean, I was like 900 followers at this time, but I think I got to like 1,000 and I was like, oh, people are engaging. Like people want to know more. And I'm like, this is fun. We moved back to Missouri to be closer to family, cheaper cost of living, and we ended up living in the RV that we renovated, and just started to share that of living in the RV, living tiny, being a mom of two, moving back. And I always looked at social media as something to do on the side, as like, I saw people get these couches and I'm like, how did they just, do they get paid to get a couch? Do they just get a couch?
We got into it for free couch.
I'm like,
what an inspiration.
For real. I was like, you're getting all these clothes. I'm like, how are they making money? So I really went into like the analytics, like what it, or like algorithm of like how it works and what it takes to build like a business on social media. And I was like, if I can commit a year, even 6 months of consistency to do it, I wonder where I could go. And so I think by like the spring of 2020, I was maybe at like 1,000 followers and, you know, COVID hit and I'm like, well, there's no better time than now to just keep sharing our life. And early on, we vowed to just share genuinely and authentically of like who we are as people. And I didn't want it to necessarily be just about RVs because I knew RV life was going to be a very short period of time for us. But I wanted to like still stay true to who we are. And so I just shared kind of all about life in general. And yeah, within the first year, I think I got to like 5,000 followers and I was like, yes, I did it. But from there, we'll dive into this, but we started sharing our surrogacy journey and then just more of our life and marriage and parenting. And I think just being like ourselves and sharing insight and encouragement and also some like humor in there. I think people just loved getting to know us as people, which wanted them to follow and engage more. Yeah. And I think that really helped us like gain our following and kind of helped us jumpstart and
talk to me about those emotions. Like Sam just comes to you, Dan, and says, hey, I'm gonna start live streaming our life.
Right.
For the whole world to see.
See, 10 years of marriage has taught me that when Sam comes to me with an idea, I'm just now starting to process it or think through it. And she already has plans A through Z mapped out. Wow. And so She's like, okay, so I actually already found an RV to do. Okay, so already found that like posting at least three times throughout the day is when it's best. And we have to go live at least once a day. And I'm like, people are just going to be, it's like they have a hidden camera in our house. And she's like, well, no, we're like talking to them. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever done. And when she first brought up TikTok, she's like, you need to do a TikTok.
This is in like 2021, I think.
So fairly recent.
Yeah.
Wow. And all of my experience with TikTok was we had two girls that would babysit the kids. Mm-hmm. And they would like tag team it when they would come over. And every time they'd be like, hey, there's a new TikTok trend. We're going to do this.
And it was always dancing.
My view of TikTok and social media was a bunch of high school girls dancing. And I'm like, I'm a creepy 30-year-old dude at this point. Like, I'm far removed. I'm farther out from high school than I spent in high school, you know? And so all of that kind of played into it. And at the end of the day, I've just realized, you know, when she has an idea, she sticks with it. And I just kind of followed her throughout. Yeah. And then she encouraged me at that point to start my own podcast and to really branch out myself and start marketing and promoting.
Yeah, that's awesome. We saw like with our, because our personal platform for both of us is We Are Dane and Sam, but it's like we saw the growth from that. We saw the benefit of it, the opportunity. And he talked about this dream of starting a hunting podcast for so many years and sharing stories. And I'm like, I'm sick of hearing about this. Can you just start it, please? And so whenever he did, I'm like, well, free marketing is social media. Like, it just makes sense. And I saw from, you know, one post or one story, we could reach, you know, back then it was less than now, but it's like hundreds of people. Like, why not? It's like you have a couple dozen friends and family here, but if they listen, that's it. And so, you know, it's like, why not share? So you saw the benefit pretty quick.
What helped you get over that barrier of like, hey, I'm just going to do it?
Oh, yeah, because you had friends that did not like it. Like,
oh, I can't even imagine your hunting friends and their reaction.
Oh, man. It's like all the strangers love me. All my friends hate me. They're like, dude, this is so dumb and cringy. And I'm like, hey, it's fun to do. Like, and it does all of the content that we do, we try to make it relatable to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The more people that relate to it, the more people are going to share it. They're going to follow. They're going to really get invested in our lives and what we do. But ultimately, it was Sam. You know, like, I've always had a file in my phone called Shark Tank, and it's all of these great business ideas that I never do anything with.
Right?
Like, or it's like 2 years later, somebody actually invents it and they make millions.
Yeah.
Well, Sam's always like, just do something. Yeah. Like, you keep talking about doing a podcast, and I think her exact words were, you can either shut up about it or do it. And so I was like, all right, I guess I'll do it.
That's so amazing.
Yeah.
How's your journey been, you know, from when you started to today?
It's been crazy.
It's been a roller coaster for sure. Jumping fully into it and like abandoning RV renovations and a construction job or an office job, that took a lot of faith. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, we wanted to go the most adventurous route. We had a good friend in Colorado. And he talked about encouraging his kids to do that. Anytime life presents you with multiple opportunities, choose the most adventurous one.
Yeah.
And so, although it was difficult and that fear of like, or that security blanket of an actual job, getting over that was definitely the hardest part. But then moving from that to where we are now, it's been awesome. Seeing the consistent growth, seeing that consistency really does pay off, like if you just stick with it. And that was the thing with the podcast. I saw a study that showed 95% of podcasts fail before 100 episodes.
Wow.
And so immediately I had a goal. I said, if I'm going to be in the top 5% of podcasts of all time, all I have to do is make it to episode 100.
And you're almost at 200, right?
And now, at 200 this next recording is my 200th episode.
Wow. Yeah, I saw some of your analytics. They're pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's been wild, but really just sticking with something that I'm passionate about and then connecting with other like-minded people.
Yeah, so how did you get through, let's say, your episode 50, your view count's still low, your wife's over here succeeding at life. What helped you get through those moments to stay true to 100?
So There were definitely times where I took a break for, you know, 3 months, 6 months based
on hunting
season.
Whoa. I'm just kidding.
The first one was because you wanted an RV renovation business.
Yes, that's true. So we started an RV renovation business and I'm like, okay, you know what? I can put my podcast on hold for now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went back and I looked, and at that point I was at episode 19. Mm-hmm. Between 19 episodes, I had 90 views total.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, I know why people don't stick out to 100.
Yeah.
And at that point, she was wanting me to get back into it. She's like, you took time off so that mm-hmm. we could do RV renovations. We've still been doing that and we'll continue, but let's take time off of social media this weekend. I'm like, that's easy. I don't do anything on social media. And she's like, well, just take time as a family. Well, what she was actually doing is she went on her pages and she posted about my podcast.
I went on your page. I created
Oh, yeah, she created a page for me.
Yeah. Wow.
And when she did that, she just shared about me quitting my 9-to-5, quitting doing construction, mm-hmm. jumping into podcasting. And over that weekend, it was a 3-day period that we were off social media. I went from like basically not having an account on TikTok to 16,000 followers.
Wow.
And I went from 90 total downloads of the podcast to 4,500.
Wow.
And she's like, this is why I told you.
Which podcast was it, number wise?
This was,
that was episode, I mean, so that was around the 19th.
19.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you did 19 times and crickets.
Yeah, crickets.
And it was all, I was like, I can count how many friends are listening to my podcast by dividing
that's my wife, that's my kids.
Yeah. For real.
And I'm like, you know what? I can double my podcast, just leave it on repeat on my nightstand, you know? And
but seeing the comments of like the encouragement and like, oh, I just listened to episode, you know, 1-5 and it's awesome. Can't wait to continue listening. Like the support and him being able to see that gave him that boost to like keep going and not quit and people enjoy and people want to hear more because it is hard to, if you don't have that, like, if you're not like edified in that way, is that the right word? Like encouraged in that way, it can be discouraging. Yeah. Like even social media, you know, people say, don't look at the likes or comments or views. And it's like, well, in a sense I have to, cause that's my job. So if I'm not getting the views and I'm not getting the engagement, then I'm not doing my job well. And so I need to go step back. What can I do better? How can I, you know, in a sense, promote better, share better and keep going because people did want to hear what he had to say and wanted to hear his stories.
That's awesome.
Yeah, going through the comments was definitely interesting. Early on, it was a lot of encouragement. I mean, people who were jumping on board, following, liking, and sharing, it was because they saw, like, I quit my 9-to-5 and I'm pursuing this now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was like rooting for the underdog. Yeah. Like, dude, this guy's probably going to fail, but I'll give him a like.
That's interesting you say that. I want to hear, I know this is like you're, a man as a man gets. Like anytime I question, like if I'm not being manly enough, I just pull up your outdoor channel. I have to put on a persona outdoor adventure. So tell me the worst comment you've had today and why did you take that personally?
You know, it's been a while since I've even given second thought to the negative comments, but early on, it was people just not understanding who I was and telling me I'm a murderer because and telling me I'm an awful human being. And then really when it came down to the worst of the worst, it's threatening my family.
Really?
Like people threatening my wife and my kids, saying the same thing should happen to my family that's happening to these animals. And that is a big struggle with online because you don't have that person-to-person interaction. It's all through text, and you can say whatever you want. But in person, I've never had a negative interaction with somebody.
That's good.
Like, I've talked to people who are vegans or pescatarians, and I've explained to them my process and why I do what I do. And it's like...
They've come to an understanding.
We've come to a mutual agreement. Like, hey, what I'm doing isn't this savage, barbaric thing. I'm not like jumping out of a tree and biting a deer on the throat, you know? Yeah. I'm like, when I go hunting, I don't do it claiming like, I'm out there to give animals peaceful deaths. But really, if you look at a deer in their life, it's disease, it's getting hit by a vehicle, it's having coyotes essentially eat it alive. I don't know how deep you want to go on this podcast. But I'm like, what we do is we do really give it a humane death. And we put the meat to use. Like we eat everything that I hunt.
Wow.
And a lot of people are disconnected from the food supply. Yeah. Like they have no idea where their food comes from. A chicken nugget has like 13 different chickens in it, you know, or probably more than that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I know that I'm feeding my family clean, healthy meat and it's an enjoyable experience for me.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah. What about Sam, you? What's a negative comment? But for you,
which ones have we not gotten?
I want to hear how you overcame it. Yeah. What's a negative comment, how you overcame it?
I think recently, so I'm on a surrogacy journey. It's my second time being a surrogate. And I think the one I got recently was, why don't you ever spend time with the kids you don't get paid for or you're not compensated for? And I was like, I was so hurt because people just don't really see like the truth behind it, because they don't see your full story. They see a picture of your life in 60 seconds and it's you, you know, I'm at Target with Dan and everyone's like, where's your kids? Well, they're at school. So yeah, they can't really be here right now. And so there's just, people are rude and like hurtful. And if it does happen, we just like take some time and step back and breathe. And
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's amazing. So you have this negative comments. Mm-hmm. How do you overcome those really negative comments? Yeah. I mean, just listening to them. And I mean, it's not even in my direction. It's like, I'm taking this personally. How do you overcome something like that?
There's times where they do get to me. I think the ones where they come for my character, I think it hurts me the most, because I wish people knew like truly deep down, like who I was as a person and like what's important to me. Obviously when people come for my family, my kids, that's hurtful too. But I think when someone doesn't fully understand the full picture, it is hard. There's times, it's probably like once or twice throughout the year where it'll really get to me and I'll have to go to Dan and be like, hey, can you help walk me through this? Like coach me through it. And I'll take like 3 days off to just breathe and like get my mind in the right place, go to the Lord and really, you know, confirm in me like where my values found and like who I am and whose I am, because my value isn't what these people are telling me, and I'm not who they're telling me that I am. And yeah, so there's times where it's hurtful, but I think it's important to have that balance of like getting that feedback and that positive, you know, reassurance, but also not to take the negative comments to heart, because I chop it up as two things. One, they're hurt themselves and they're struggling in life and they don't have the things that they desire or want in life. And so they're just pouring that out into other people. And then two, I use it to fuel me, because the negative comments builds traction and other people comment back to them. And the more comments, the more views, which means the more money I make. So
I love that. That would be perfect for you.
Yes.
We've actually got, I mean, between all of the followers, we've got a pretty loyal base of like champions.
Wow. Oh,
and when one negative comment comes, it's just like a pack of hyenas all coming like, you have no idea who she is. She's an amazing mom. She's an amazing wife.
And I'm like, get it. So I don't even honestly have to say anything. I would say probably my team on Facebook, my team of top fans and followers, they're amazing. Like I'll just read through them sometimes, because I don't have time to read through every comment. I mean, there's thousands a day, hundreds of thousands probably. And so I don't have time to read through them, but every now and then, you know, when I'm scrolling, I'm like, yeah, get it, Andrea, you tell her, like, you know, you tell her, Cindy. And so, or my mom will screenshot and be like, oh, Barbara is saying something really rude to you today. And my mom will go off on her and I'm like, mom, you don't have to like stand up for me. I'm like, you know who, like what's real, you know the truth, you don't have to worry about it. But yeah, it's a good balance of like, you know, being present and like engaging with people, but also realizing sometimes you just need to take a step back and like clear your mind. And
you had mentioned that you guys from day one agreed to share as it is your life together. But is there a boundary or a line that you draw of what you do share or you don't share online?
Yeah.
I think one thing that's unique about us is like certain platforms, it's the best day of somebody's life, you know, like that's all you see. And it's hard for people who are just watching from a distance to compare their own life to that. And they're just like, wow, they have it so good. They're going on these trips, they're doing this. But one thing that Sam's done is in the most vulnerable moments, she'll take the time to pull her phone out or tell me to pull my phone out and just be like, hey, we need to document this, because people need to see that nobody has a perfect life. Mm-hmm. As much as we like to hold people at this certain level and say they have everything they need, they still break down emotionally, they still struggle physically, they still have the same issues that we all do. And so sharing that and being very open and vulnerable with people has actually led to a lot of amazing feedback, people talking about thank you for being genuine, thank you for like showing the tough moments and not only the highlights of your life. So I feel like that's kind of kept us on track with it. Obviously, we do some trending stuff. And for whatever reason, people don't fully understand social media, they'll be like, you're not even singing that song. I'm like, no, I was literally lip syncing to Britney Spears. I'm like, this isn't my voice, you know? Yeah. But like, people have this skewed vision of, or view of what is actually happening on camera. Right. And so to just share the vulnerable moments and be open with that.
Yeah, from awesome. From the beginning, we wanted to share life in those real and raw moments and share all aspects of life. And I never want to come across that our life is perfect. I want, you know, it's not always peaches and cream. There's hard days and there's, you know, exciting days. And so when, you know, my hair's done, my makeup's done, I'm sharing an outfit or whatever. Great. When my house is clean, you know, I'm taking a picture of it, but also like all when I don't have my lashes on, I'll still come on and be like, you know, good morning, happy Tuesday. Or when my room is a mess, but I want to show them a picture frame, like I'll show them the dirty pile of clothes. Because I don't ever want people to think, one, that my life is perfect, but two, that like that they're not doing well because their home doesn't look like mine, or they're, you know, they don't have a dress like me. Like I don't ever want it to be like that. And so we do try to share those moments. And even just like in life, in our marriage, we every season we go through, our, you know, life change and roles change. And so we come together and we talk about, okay, who's doing more of the dishes now? Who's doing more of the cooking? Who's doing more of the taking kids? And there was a time recently, like a month ago, when we were just off, like we weren't doing what our roles were. And like, I was like not doing well, you weren't doing well. And so we sat down and talked about it. And I just like came on and I was like, we had a long conversation last night. It was hard, but it had to be done. And we talked about our roles. And I was like, if you guys are going through this in your relationship, don't think that your relationship is bad and not doing well because you have to have those conversations. I'm like, that's marriage. That's like, you have to have those conversations. And in moments of like that, like bring us together. And so just reminding people that they're not alone. Like we go through struggles too. Cause yeah, you look at, you know, a 60-second video and you're like, oh my gosh, he's perfect. He cooked you hibachi tonight. Like, that's so great. And it's like, yeah, he did. But guess what? He cooks frozen pizza the next night. Like, so he's not always, you know, the best husband. And I'm not always the best wife. But
so you feel like that is something that you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you insist on sharing that. That's amazing.
For sure.
Do you think it's a pretty direct representation right now from your social media presence to what actually life is with Sam and Dan?
Yeah, I feel like it. And we've actually, we meet people pretty consistently out in public now.
Bass Pro, Target.
Yeah, all over the place. And they'll come up to us and they'll talk to us. Mm-hmm. Or like they'll peek around the aisle at Walmart and we're just like,
a secret
here
we picture.
Go, get ready, babe, like, here they come. But they come up and they introduce themselves and we just talk to them. Mm-hmm. And we always get the feedback, like, thanks for being you guys. Like, you are the same people in Walmart at 7 a.m. as you are online. And
it's like, always good to hear that because you're like, good, that's what I want to represent. That's what we want to show is we don't, because we've met probably one or two people online that we followed and they were not the same person. And it was really hard for me to like grasp that and be like, wait, how you are online and you are not kind, you are not friendly, you are not a pleasant person. Wow. And I was like, I do not want to be that. Like, I want to be, you know, the fun, bubbly self that I am. I want to be that to people, whether, and it honestly, it kind of helps because when you're at the grocery store and you want to get frustrated for some dumb reason, you're like, what if she follows me? Or what if she sees, you know, like you literally at all points of the day, you could run into people who see your life. And so it's just kind of like a, like character, like just keeping your character in check.
We were in Branson at a restaurant and our son was acting up, so Sam corrected him. And this lady messaged later and she's like, hey, so I follow you guys and I was at that restaurant. Thanks for correcting your son. Like, it's cool to see your real people. And I'm like, yeah, parenting win.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Social media win, yeah. I guess.
So I'm not just going to like not do things just because I'm in public. Yeah. Like, I'm going to be myself. I'm going to correct my children. I'm, you know, going to do what I need to do.
Yeah. But speaking of parenting, I don't have any children of my own. I fostered for a few years, but launching this podcast, the immense amount of work that it takes. I'm coordinating, I'm, you know, so many moving pieces, and it seems like I don't have enough time. How do you guys balance? You got two children, church, one podcast, all his social media, your podcast, all your social media, your surrogacy journey, number two. Mm. Like, how do you balance this?
It's a color-coordinated Google Calendar. Every day, every event. I'd say for myself, I tend to take on more than I should. Dan keeps me grounded and reminds me, hey, you need to rest. You need time for you. Mm. You need to have a hobby. You need, you know, the Sabbath. And you can always grow. You can always succeed. You can always do more. But realizing that in this moment, our children and this time that we have with them is important. And so prioritizing that, prioritizing time together, our date nights, our, you know, day dates that we have, and still prioritizing work, but also the priorities, that the order of priorities.
Yeah, and we've noticed that like our roles have kind of switched in a lot of ways. Like it used to be that I would leave every day and go to work, and I would work from 8 to 5 or 8 to 4, and she would do a lot of the stuff with the kids. And now, because she does basically all of the editing for both our social media channels, she's dealing with emails and partnerships and stuff, I've taken on more of that role of like dropping the kids off at school, picking them up, playing with them. Like we went to the hot tub the other day in the freezing, literal freezing rain. It was 4 degrees out. And it's like, so when it's work time, but the kids are home from school because they get out early, it's like, I'll hang out with them. I'll keep them busy. And she's knocking out work. Mm-hmm. And so it's really just every day communicating like, hey, what do we have to do today? How are we going to manage this? Snow days are terrible when you're a parent and you have things to do. And there's been 5 of them now with less than 2 inches of snow. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a balancing act for sure, but communicating about it and just being adaptable. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In your guys' journey, I'm sure you've had a really low moment and a really high moment. Mm-hmm. Who wants to talk about the really low moment?
Ooh, I'm trying to think of a low. I feel like there's several low. No,
just keep in mind, whoever talks about the low moment, the other person has to talk about the high moment. So
I'll talk about the high.
If you guys need a moment to discuss. Yeah.
The low moment.
Or an experience, like a key moment you're like, wow, I'm on top of the world. Like everything's going well. Everything's going perfect.
So I would say one of the lowest moments. We were in the middle of RV renovations. Sam had been documenting everything. And we said, hey, we need a new one. Like, we need another RV. We need our travel trailer. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, I've got the perfect one picked out. Let's talk to the bank, get a loan out for it, and then we'll go pick it up. And so we both show up there. And in the moment, I was very underwhelmed by it. I'm like, it looked like they put a Band-Aid on it.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
It
was, I know what you're talking about.
It was something that we were both kind of already committed to. Like, we had an envelope full of cash.
We borrowed a truck to go pick it up. Like, wow. We already drove an hour and a half to get it.
But in the moment, I thought this was what she wanted, and I wasn't impressed with it, didn't feel a piece about it at all.
Neither did I.
She didn't either, but we didn't communicate about it.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And so we went through and we purchased this camper, and we got it back, and that actually led to meeting you.
Yeah.
Like, this was how we met you, because I called you and I said, hey man, my buddy told me you do RV repairs. Like, we've got a total slide out. Like the whole wall, once we started peeling wallpaper back, it was just rotted wood.
They just put a panel over the rotted wood.
All the way around the slide out. The roof was bad, and you gave us a quote for it. And I was like, we just lost all of our money on this. Like, we will never be able to sell this.
Wow.
And it was, although it was a really low moment for us, we're like, we don't know how we're going to recoup this. We now still have to pay it back.
Yeah.
We can't even sell this for what we bought it for. It's going to be like a $7,000 to $10,000 loss.
Nor do we want to, because we wouldn't want to put that on anyone else.
Yeah, just put the wallpaper back on, post it on Facebook.
Like,
how'd you get out from underneath that?
So we ended up basically
eating the cost of it. Sold it for $1,200.
No.
But honestly, it was a teaching moment, because we both didn't feel a piece about it. And since the first of getting married, every decision, big decision we've made, we've always prayed about it. And if we felt a peace, we move forward. And if we didn't feel a peace, we didn't move forward. And it always led us in a great direction. But because we both didn't feel a peace about it, we both didn't communicate it. We honestly took that learning lesson and did not
it was
let
an
it
expensive
happen
lesson
it was
we
an
could
expensive
have learned
lesson.
It for a lot less money.
Yeah, but we're glad that it happened, because it, you know, it propelled us forward and it taught us something. And yeah, it was hard. I had bronchitis and pneumonia when we went to pick it up.
No.
So I was like, just get me out of here, get me back in bed, like, we'll deal with it later, because we didn't open it up and touch it for like 4 or 5 days.
Big
learning lesson, big low point, because at that point,
and it was the beginning of your journey.
I think that was like the second RV, maybe third, that we were renovating.
Wow.
So we were still new at sourcing RVs and, you know, doing the inspections ourselves type of thing. And from what it appeared to be, like, oh, this would be basic touch-up paint, you know, some new flooring, some decor, and a quick sale, you know, and hopefully a quick, like, 5 to 10,000 profit, and it was not.
So. Yeah, we, at that point, I feel like it almost broke the business, because all of the money aside from our bills went back into buying supplies or getting the next travel trailer.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, we're like, this might be the end of it. Like, we took a risk and jumped into this. We don't see a way out. And then little by little, things came together. Like, we sat down, we prayed about it. We felt a peace about moving forward. And then the next build was a client build where basically they covered the material costs up front, and then we built it for them and sold it. Wow. So it all ended up working out, and we still did RVs after that.
I have the same experience.
You have to learn. Yeah. Like, it, you fail.
I remember when I bought my first RV, I knew nothing about RVs. People ask me, how do you know so much about RVs? I learned the hard way. So I went on online auction, and I just found an RV not far from here. I think it was St. Louis or Kansas City, and I'm online auction. I have a $1,000 budget, and I'm just bidding, 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 and I win it for $1,000. Little did I know, you got taxes, fees, expenses, transportation. Oh, no. The first one I bought, it had a tree that had fallen on it. And from the pictures, I mean, you know, RVs are tall. So taking a picture down up, it didn't look that bad. I thought, I'll patch the roof, I'll bondo the side, put new decals, I'll flip it. You know, this is a good start to my business. Backstory, at this point, we sold our house. We moved in with Nina's parents, living or starting my business out of my mom's garage. And so RV arrives. I thought they brought the wrong one. It's completely crushed on the side. Yank the door open. Inside, everything is destroyed. Oh, so I'm like giving myself hope. I'm like trying to talk myself through this. I'm like, we'll fix this. I've seen worse. We've done like remodels on house. Yeah. Our house remodel was huge. I'm like, we'll fix this.
Yeah.
So I call my brother Peter. I'm like, Peter, can you come help me? I imagine I felt in that moment when Peter came like you did when I talked to you.
Yes.
He's like, Pavel, do you know how RVs are built? I'm like, no. Mm-mm. He's like, the walls sit on the floor. The roof sits on the walls. You got to strip this down the frame and rebuild it. I'm estimating, I think he told me like $30,000.
Oh,
he's
my
like,
gosh.
You can buy two brand new RVs for $30,000. So I was like, okay, what do we do now? And I had to think on my feet.
Yeah.
We ended up stripping it down to the frame and selling every nut, bolt, screw from it. Yeah. We had a lady drive like 5 hours to buy a cap to a light that she couldn't find online. We ended up giving it to her for free. But yeah, we sold everything. We even had people come buy the damaged walls, the damaged roof. At that time, it was the pandemic, so people couldn't get parts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I got started. So I wasn't too far ahead when
you had I'm like, this guy's a professional. He knows all of this. And you were like, dude, that's going to be $20,000. And I'm like, oh, no. We're in trouble.
Yeah, let's talk good experience. What's your guys' best experience?
It's hard because I feel like there's been so many good moments throughout it. It's hard to pick just one. But I would say throughout sharing like our surrogacy journey, one of the things that is like really encouraging to me is through sharing my journey, like we've encouraged other women that like, hey, if you are able, you know, you had great pregnancies and labors and you're able to help someone else in this way. There's so many couples who are in need of a surrogate. And like, I would encourage you to, you know, see if you meet the requirements to become one and do surrogacy. And there have been hundreds. I wish I knew a number, but there have been hundreds that have gone through the process to get approved to be a surrogate and who have delivered. And every message that I get that's like, hey, you know, you encouraged me to become a surrogate. I just delivered 2 weeks ago and just want to say thank you. It's been the most amazing experience. And it's so great to like know that what I'm doing or what like the Lord led us to do is now encouraging other people to do the same and, you know, use their one life on this earth for good. That, and then I feel like it seems small, but to me it's big. Like when we share stories of like us walking in a church together as a family or like praying together, I'll get messages that are like, hey, I'm not religious. I don't have faith in anything, but I love seeing you and your family go to church. You guys look so happy.
Wow.
Like stuff like that makes what we do worth it. And it is that reminder that like we're in the right place and we're doing the right thing. And then probably one last high is we're now writing a book.
Wow.
Yeah, publishing. That's exciting. Tyndale House reached out to us about 6 months ago. And so just through sharing our life, it's opened up all these opportunities. And something like that was a dream that I had like a year ago, never thought it would be possible. I don't know, even know how to like, according to Dan, I'm horrible at grammar and punctuation.
Well, that's why you have Dan.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, what's funny is I'm like the rough redneck dude. And in the book writing process, we had to basically give...
submit a proposal and do a full chapter.
So we had to do one full chapter, and then we had to do two paragraphs for every chapter, mm-hmm. name the chapters, wow. do all of this stuff. And... I started to read one of the paragraphs that she wrote, and I was like, babe, maybe I'll take this one over. And so I went through and wrote all of these, wow. and I went through her.
Teamwork.
Yeah, I went through her full chapter.
He was like, run on sentences, no punctuation, words that aren't even real words.
I'm like, I'm pretty sure this thought started at the beginning of last page and carried on to the end of this page. And so working through that has been fun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just working like really closely together on that,
yeah.
looking back through pictures, like all of our adventures have taken us to different places and the timelines get really confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm starting to get like old man brain. I'm like, yeah, back in 2016. And she's like, that was last year. Like, that did not happen that long ago.
Yeah.
But looking back through the pictures and going through the memories mm-hmm. as we begin to write this story to encourage other people to live lives of adventure has been pretty awesome.
That's amazing. You kind of yeah. answered my big question is, you know, what is, you know, the goal behind the book? And that's inspiring. Yeah. I look forward to reading it and getting an autographed copy.
Yes, yeah. absolutely.
We'll make sure to put a link into this podcast as well
yeah.
Whenever you guys are ready for it. Now, let's definitely. Talk about, you had mentioned a few times faith and church mm-hmm. and the important role it plays in your life.
Yeah.
And I can't even imagine how hard it is in today's mm-hmm. time and age, especially for me. As you know, my family comes from pretty conservative backgrounds yeah. as well. And faith is, you know, first and foremost and most important in our mm-hmm. life.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's really
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
How do you do it? How do you stand your ground in your beliefs and in your faith?
Yeah. There's, you know, we're called to share truth. And so we share our life, and it's not that every day we're talking about the Lord, we're talking about our faith and prayer, but something that's of priority to you and important to you, you talk about a lot. I love Dan. I talk about him a lot. I'm going to share about him. I'm going to show him that the same is with the Lord and our relationship with him. And so it's going to come out in our stories and our yeah. videos. And, you know, that's just who we are and what's important to us. And like I said, I think that even people who don't share the same beliefs as us still respect that. And I think our follower base is kind of all across the board. I think we do have a high following, probably 60-75% that are Christian and that share the same belief, but then there's several that don't. And we just hope that, you know, whatever the other person chooses to believe in, that we can just show love and encouragement. And, you know, there's so much in the world going on politically and socially, economically that everyone wants to know your opinion on things.
Yeah.
And there's times when we feel led to share our opinion and response. And there's times when we don't choose to share because it's not important or it just isn't necessary, or we just prefer to keep that private.
Yeah.
And so there's been a couple of times where we've spoken out on things and it hasn't been received well. But at the end of the day, we're accountable to the Lord. We're not accountable to what everyone else wants to hear from us. And so if we feel led to share something, we will. And
yeah. That's yeah. so inspiring.
I feel like your true fulfillment isn't found in how many followers you have, how much money's in your bank account.
Yeah.
It's really figuring out what your priorities are and sticking with them. And for us, all throughout our marriage, dating, relationship, and our personal lives, even before that, it was God first, always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we do desire to show that, but more than that, live it out. Because if that's not the case, like I honestly don't believe that either of us could be fulfilled by any amount of money
yeah.
or followers on Facebook or TikTok.
Yeah.
It's all going to come from that. And then because of our relationship with him, we choose to do everything with excellence.
Yeah.
So.
Well said. Well said.
Good job.
What is your kind of ultimate goal behind your platforms? Because I notice just the time commitment it takes to make the content you guys are making, mm-hmm. especially at the high-level video editing, which, congratulations. I
yes.
thought you was mostly a video editor, but congratulations.
Well, I do, like, TikToks and Reels, so we
yeah.
have an editor for YouTube because I didn't have time for that. But remind me of the question.
Yeah, what is the goal behind
oh, yeah.
this? What is the ultimate end goal, I should say?
It's hard
vision?
Because I feel like We have this running joke that every 2 years our life changes and we go in a different direction. And so for right now, we're doing social media and we're doing podcasting and we love it, but we don't know if this is our quote unquote end goal. Mm-hmm. Like it's been a blessing to us financially and also time freedom wise that we want to continue. But if God has us go in a different direction, then we will. But I feel like our goal for like Dan's platform is like sharing relatable hunting content, sharing, you know, awesome stories of hunts and, you know, encouraging other people to get out there and hunt. And then with ours, we always say like, we want to encourage people and inspire people on like our We Are Dan and Sam page. But yeah, other than that,
I feel like for me, it would be encouraging other people and like pushing them to do something outside of their comfort zone. But on a personal level, our goal for it initially was we wanted more time freedom. We watched a show years ago that said the guy defined success for him and his family not by how much money's in their bank account, but how much time they have to do what they love. And I realized working for another company, having a boss, somebody who really owned my time, I couldn't do the things that I loved. And like, we couldn't do the things that we loved as a family. So we saw social media as a way to encourage people, but also give us the free time to actually watch our kids grow up and to go on adventures that we never thought possible.
That's so inspiring to hear that it's not, you know, a million or $1 billion or today, you know, they say $1 trillion, but just freedom to spend with family, to spend with each other. I don't think you hear that, you know, often enough in this time and age that we live in.
I think the money is like a secondary benefit for us. Like it is that time, like when we'll be at home, like washing the dishes or something after we drop the kids off at school. And I'm like, I get to wash dishes at 9 a.m. with my husband. Like, you know, not everyone gets to do that. And like, just realizing how blessed we are to have the opportunity to like be on our own schedule. And like, you know, if we want to go to Florida for a week randomly, like we can. And that to us means more than like, you know, the money.
It's funny. I got a couple jobs and two different employers. I talked to them in my interview to get the job. And I told them any job that keeps me from doing what I love outside of my job, I won't do.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you don't, it's not really a way to open up an interview, you know? But in all reality, it's like, if I can't do the things that I love with my wife, taking my kids camping, going on a hunting trip or going fishing or floating down the river, I'm like, what's the job for?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are saying, hey, right now I've got to work this hard so that down the road, hopefully when I'm 70, I can retire and I can go do this, or I can build up my credentials and I can have this title in front or behind my name. And I'm like, or you could live that life that you want right now and see what happens. Because I know people who thought they were going to retire at 60 and they're in their 70s that are working still.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to live an adventurous life currently. And I want my kids growing up doing that. Like, I didn't get to see any other states really growing up as a kid. And now our kids have been on more planes
30 maybe?
And more states than I had up until I was probably 28 years old.
Wow.
And I'm like, I want that for them. I want that sense of adventure in them. So
yeah. And we share it in a way that is attainable for other people. Like we, you know, starting out and then doing RV life or whatever, like it's all about taking that step. We were talking with Nina earlier about how a lot of people are afraid to fail and have so much fear about like, well, what if this doesn't work out? Or what if, you know, we can't do that? Well, just try and like step out and take that adventure and go, you know, try something new, go a new place and just experience something that's outside of your normal like comfort zone.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have people ask you all the time, you know, how did you get to a point where you didn't have to go work a construction site or you didn't have to go work, you know, a professional job? Yeah. What do you think today it would take time-wise, literally in regards to months or years? And the second half of that is time per week-wise to get to a level where you don't have to worry about how you're going to pay the mortgage that's due in 2 days or in 3 days.
So I think it's really just tracking your progress and staying consistent. You'll learn what it's going to take. You know, after a couple months of doing something, you're going to know, like, hey, I got to work twice as much as I have been. But for us, I mean, we planned it out. It wasn't just like cold turkey.
Yeah,
you know what? We're going to quit our jobs. We don't know what we're going to do. Oh, look, an RV. Let's buy that. Like, there was some planning involved to it. and we had a little bit of savings. So it was like, hey, we're gonna go all in on this, but we do have the opportunity to go back to a job. Mm-hmm. Like I can go get a construction job somewhere if I needed to, or she could go back to working for a nonprofit or being a waitress or doing a number of different mm-hmm. things. And so as we went though, it was like watching it progress. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is crazy to me that taking the biggest risk we could career-wise and financially led to us having the most financial freedom and time freedom that we've ever had. Mm-hmm. We joked about it yesterday. It was 5 years ago, maybe, that we were living in Colorado, and I remember putting 58 cents of change on the counter saying, can I get 58 cents on pump 3?
Wow. Yeah.
Just so that I could get home.
Wow.
And it's like
I probably would have walked.
Oh man, it was like going through my wallet, like card after card, declined. I'm like, oh, grab the wrong card again, oops. And it's like, you grabbed the wrong card 4 times in a row. No, I just don't have any money. So it's like, in those moments though, we still loved each other. We still had our priorities right.
Yeah.
Although on paper we had nothing, no money. We were in debt on vehicles. Like we still, any chance we could, we wanted to get out and camp or hike or see the mountains or travel and spend time with family. And so all of those things have been a priority all the way through, but setting a goal of what your view of success looks like is going to help propel you to that. And that's going to really determine how much you have to work.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like you said, we didn't do cold turkey. We, you know, that workaholic in me, there was nights where I was up till 2:30, you know, figuring out social media while I'm doing my nonprofit job and, you know, multitasking to then build something up to feel comfortable to be like, okay, let me drop my hours a little bit. Okay, let me quit. Okay, you keep working. Let me keep doing this on the side. Once we get to the point, let's drop your hours a little bit. And so it was a balance of, there were still risks and steps of faith we had to take, but it was also, we used wisdom in it of like, cause we have kids to provide for, bills to pay. Working hard towards something, but still prioritizing what's important.
That's awesome. Dan, you mentioned all in. For me, all in is when I started my business and I was 7 days a week, 16 hour shifts. And that was probably for the first 3-ish years.
Yeah.
I think this, like the last 6 to 12 months, I've kind of been able to reach a point where I'm like, not counting the 68 cents anymore, but you know, I'm ready to scale up again to our new factory. And I'm again, you know, getting ready to put in those long hours, all in, sacrificing vacations. What does all in mean for you and for Sam?
See, I feel like we have a very different, you and I have a very different view of all.
That's what I want to clarify. Cause you're talking,
I'm like, I'm not going to give up even a year of free time. Like I'm not the guy who's going to go 80 hours a week hard, because at the end of the day, my free time today is just as valuable to me as my free time in 3 years. And so when we did the RV renovations, we had talked about that. And she's like, if we just crank this out, if we do 80 hours a week,
if we do three RVs at the same time,
if we do this, she's like, we could knock them out in like 3 weeks each. And this is the profit we would turn. And I'm like, that's not worth it to me.
That means
I actually
want
to go the opposite direction. And what we settled on is, you have to find a sustainable rhythm, because if you don't, you're going to get burnt out and then it's going to be for nothing anyways.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so many people get burnt out on what they're doing and pursuing their dreams. And they're like, this isn't what I had in mind. And so they give up on it. And I think that's why 95% of podcasts fail. It's like, this isn't what I had in mind. I need to stop. Mm-hmm. I need to back up on this. And for us, what that looked like with the RVs is, hey, we want time together as a family. So I was working 4 days a week, like 6 hours a day on the RVs.
Wow.
And it was like, is this enough to pay our bills? Yeah. Is it enough to put money in the bank? Yeah.
Is it excess?
So why do we have to make double that? We're already making more money than we ever have.
That's amazing.
And so not chasing that dollar amount, although now I'm like, man, it would be really sweet to just go pay cash for a house. Maybe we should have done the 80 hours if we wanted to. But honestly, we've loved our lives and we've been in a better spot than we ever have.
Yeah. So there's definitely seasons for that, like, you know, working overtime and, you know, your business is growing and expanding, so it's required. And I would say more so I'm that and Dan's the, like, you know, a little bit chiller. But it's also, I have to lean more towards him because I'll just go the complete opposite and do 60 hours, 60 hours, 60 hours every single week for 6 months. And then I'm burnt out mentally. I'm not in a good place. Spiritually, I'm not in a good place. Physically, I'm not in a good place. You know, Dan and I are at odds. The kids are frustrating me, and it's like, okay, well, is all that happening because I'm taking on too much? And if I am, then like, is that important? Can I scale back? Like, why do I have to do 60 hours? What am I trying to accomplish or gain by doing that? And it's like, if I have to do it for 6 months, that's when we have the talk. Hey, it's a really busy season. We've got the book and we've got this, like, how can we make this work to where when I'm working overtime, you know, you can help, or when you've got to record, like I can take over. And so it's that teamwork, but it's finding a balance within like the seasons of growth and slowness.
We would be in big trouble if we both had the same personality either direction.
Yeah, that's
if
true.
If we were both me, we would just buy stuff all the time, be completely broke, and not get any partnerships or views on social media. If we were both her, we would be up until 2 a.m. every night working, starting new businesses, writing new books. Like, I think in
no
the past,
free time.
We had never started a business in our lives. And since 2022, you've probably started 12.
It's several.
So it's like,
I'm like,
every
I have
other
a new
month,
idea.
She's like, hey, I've got a new idea. I'm going to self-publish books on Amazon. And I'm like, wow. Let's talk about it. She's like, well, actually, they're already written. And I'm like, when did you do this?
And there's five.
I've been staying up till 3 a.m. writing them. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
That's so inspiring. And I'm like, so can I publish? He's like, I mean, I guess it's already done.
So it's definitely finding a good place in the middle.
Good balance,
because otherwise it would be chaotic.
Yeah, for sure.
That's so amazing. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. In our relationship, I'm the Sam and my wife's the Dan. And it's if you don't have that healthy balance, we're not made of steel and gold as much as we think. And that burnout, I've learned to see it in advance and take time off and go write or go do something else. But I've had one too many good friends just burn out, give up, and become that statistic. I want to transition into, we've kind of learned, you know, what it's like to be Sam and Dan, and Dan and Sam. It's amazing. Let's talk about, quite literally, shoes and suits. That's, you know, our podcast here. I'm gonna start the shoes. I don't think I've ever seen Dan in anything but boots.
Right.
Is that your go-to?
Yeah, I mean, in the summer I sweat like crazy, but like if I'm out and about, you know, it's jeans, boots, maybe a t-shirt or a flannel.
Yeah,
like that's just me. I don't get dressed up. She actually had me buy a pink suit this year.
Oh, yeah. What's the occasion?
It was a wedding for people we had never met before. she said, hey, some people I know from social media are getting married. Let's go to their wedding in Georgia. And I was like, no. And she's like, we're going.
I bought
so
you this
we
pink suit already.
Pink suit.
Good,
for the most part, I don't change. It's like
a
church, a funeral, a wedding. This is what
honestly,
I wear.
Yeah, I'm tennis shoes, slacks, and a dress shirt. So I've even started to church. You know, we're our churches are a little more like formal, really dress up.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm one of the first to like really start going to church in tennis shoes. It's been a drastic.
Oh dang! They're like looking at you like you're sitting.
I remember I came out to give my first sermon in tennis shoes.
Oh my gosh.
So like, I bought a pair of black tennis shoes now, so they kind of blends in. I don't like dress shoes. I don't feel good or comfortable in them, and they're like shiny and you can't like scuff them or anything.
From the ankles up, you're good, so it shouldn't matter.
I just feel like in the summer I would wear sandals, like Chacos, bat or board shorts, and a tank top. If they allowed that in church, I would totally just be like, all right, what's up? I'm here hanging out. It's hot outside. Right. I don't want to sweat.
Yeah. What about you, Sam? What's your go-to shoes?
Probably Amazon slippers. Literally every day because, you know, working from home, I'm in just some pajama pants and slippers. And I don't like when my feet touch the cold, bare floor and crumbs. Yeah. Like, I can't stand that. It makes me cringe. And I'm like going to have a panic attack right now thinking about it. But no, I found these slippers off Amazon. I think they're like $20. The comfiest thing. And they're also like cute, so like sharing them is fun.
You'll have to give us an affiliate link.
I will.
It's like she's wearing a Maltese on each foot.
They're so fluffy and white
puff.
Soft.
Yeah.
So that's my like day-to-day go-to. But I have, you know, right now I have like cute boots on. I would say we probably have less shoes than a lot of people we know. We're more on the minimal side, and we tend to do a little bit of like the capsule wardrobe thing where you have a few pairs of shoes, but they go with several things. And so I have like, I think three different kinds of boots, like one tennis shoe, one high heel, like fancy, one little like booty thing, and a handful of sandals. But
that sounds like the perfect controversial reel.
Yes, for real. People are going to be like,
is
okay.
This real?
Right. Listen, I'm so cheap with my wardrobe. When I go to TJ Maxx and it's more than $10 for a shirt, I'm like, who do they think they are? Gucci? Like, I'm not buying this shirt.
Right. Well, yeah. We'll go on like shopping sprees like once or twice a year and like get the things we need, and then we don't shop again. Like, we don't go weekly or monthly to like go clothes shopping or shoe shopping. So yeah, we'll go a couple times a year, get the things we need, and it lasts us. I find things that I love and that I wear all the time. So my slippers, yeah. I'm on my second pair of same slippers, but they're just so comfy and I love them.
It's so inspiring. I feel like that's what the world needs to hear. Everyone I've interviewed on this podcast, you know, from all walks of life, mm-hmm. all very successful. One, the individuals we're talking, you know, $500 million a year.
Yeah.
So very, very successful individuals. Simple as can be.
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought it was like a Springfield, Missouri thing, but it's not. Like, successful people are simple people.
Yeah. Didn't you tell me one time that the president has, and they probably have more, but it's like, they wear the same suits or whatever because they have so many hard decisions in life that they have to make that day, that deciding on something to wear is not one of them. And I feel like I kind of adapt that. Like, I've got to figure out, what am I cooking for dinner? What am I posting today? I got to record this content. I've got to do, like, the last thing I want to think about is what I'm going to wear. I just want to be like, dress, yep, sandals, done, and not think about it anymore.
That's awesome.
More like joggers, yep, slippers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the same workout gear, it's like 3 to 4 outfits that wear the same each week. You wash them, like, what does it matter?
You had mentioned before this podcast, the Steve Harvey kind of dress code philosophy. That's what I practice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have my 3 or 4 different colored slacks, my 5 or 6 go-to shirts, and I don't even think about it. I just kind of switch out. Every now and then, my wife or someone will say, I think you've wore that shirt before. I'm like, that's fine. Swap it out for this one.
Exactly. But the times that one person's going to be like, you've worn that shirt like 2 times in the month. Okay. Like,
I don't think I've ever commented on somebody else's
exactly.
clothes. I just like, it's not me. Yeah. If I see my buddy, I'm like, dude, he must like that shirt.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome. He wears it a lot, but as long as it doesn't stink, I couldn't care less what you're wearing.
I hope you guys can continue to make that impact on this world that, hey, you don't need that Louis Vuitton. You don't need that, you know. I heard recently one of my staff was like, hey, you know, this is what I want for Christmas. I'm like, well, how much do those heels cost? $3,500. I'm like,
oh my gosh, $3,500
for a pair of heels.
Dang.
It's like, wow.
What?
Yeah. I can't even imagine the income you need to have. And that's just this false perception today. That's what people want.
We wear rubber rings like, throughout our marriage, I'm like, we don't like fancy things. Yeah. It's just not us.
I mean, I understand some people do. And there's, I saw this quote where it said, you're buying things you don't really want to please people you don't like. Mm-hmm. And I think about that often because, especially with social media these days, like, you think you have to have certain things to show a certain level of success or like, I don't know, of like who you are. But there's a lot of things we don't care about. Like you said, rubber rings. But then there's like, I just got a new Tahoe and I love it. Like, there's certain things I care about and there's certain things I don't. So, you know, if someone wants a pair of high heels, then great, but you can't hold that thinking through every area of life.
How do you put up that barrier that you don't allow the world to influence you in those things? How do you do that?
I think it was just coming to a realization that you're never going to please everybody, no matter what it is. If I walked outside and made a video of, man, the air is so fresh today. How dare you? There's places where the air isn't fresh, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's an oxygen addict, you know? Like, people are just always going to comment negatively. Yeah. And so I just choose to look at the positive. I've always said I'm like an eternal optimist. People talk about the glass being half full or half empty, and I'm like, no, it's all the way full.
Yeah.
It's half of air and half of water. Like,
I
just focus on the positive and don't let negative get to me.
Yeah, just realizing that you purchase something or you having something doesn't create a certain level of success for you. You know, if there's something that I want, like, I bought a Stanley. Everyone has Stanleys right now. I got it because I wanted it. I like drinking out of a straw. I tend to drink more water. I like carrying it around, and that's why I got it. But I don't hold that thinking with everything. And so,
that's really inspiring. If you could you know, summarize everything you just shared, which is it's life-changing. I already feel the impact it's going to have on people listening to it. What would you say the key takeaways from your story of Dan and Sam?
I would say do the things today that you don't think are possible until later in life.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Like, find something that you've always wanted to do and just finally go and do it. She pushed me to do it with the podcast. We've done it now with so many different adventures. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't put it off till tomorrow, because tomorrow might not come.
That's awesome. And Sam, what would you say your key takeaway is?
Yeah, don't be afraid of failure. I think fear keeps a lot of people from doing things that they've always wanted to try or always wanted to go for. And yeah, don't be afraid of failure. Fear propels you forward. There was something else, but I forgot.
That's awesome. Dang it. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today, for sharing your story. It's inspired me and it's going to inspire a lot of lives. May God bless you guys to continue to do the work that you guys do. And everyone else, today we'd like to give away on your behalf and our behalf of Suits and Shoes an iPad to one lucky subscriber. Exactly. And so if you subscribe to your channel and our channel and comment in the section of this video, we're going to select one commenter and Sweet. Gift them an iPad. So that's awesome. Going to be, yeah.
You Don't tell my son. He'll subscribe to both if you tell him he gets a new iPad.
Yeah, he can do that as well. Thank you all so much.